Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
You are listening to Listen for the Joy, a listener-supported ministry brought to you by Good Shepherd Baptist Church, 1880 Mayfield Road, Grand Prairie, Texas. We have as our guest today Dr. Jeff Gutterman of Ariel Ministries, and of course our host, Pastor Willie Milbury, pastor of the Good Shepherd Baptist Church, and me. I'm Ed Fox, Sunday School Superintendent for the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. We're first going to do a recap. Pastor, could you do the recap from last week for us?
First, I got to say, hi.
Eddie. How you doing, my brother, this morning?
I'm doing well, my
good.
Brother.
It's good to be here. This is so exciting to be here. This is our second program.
Yep.
Listen for the Joy.
Yeah.
God is just blessing and moving forward. And so, here we are, y'all, one more time at Heaven 97. What we did last week, last program, before I go there, let me tell you what happened to me. A strange thing happened to me on the way to the program today. That's what I'll call it, a strange thing. But it was a wonderful thing. And it's all about when we talk about the joy. You know, this is all about crank up the joy.
Crank up that joy.
My wife and I were leaving the church this morning on our way to the studio, and a carload of young girls and one adult lady pulled up into the parking lot, ran out into our open field, and they began praying.
Wow.
They began praying.
Wow.
And I went, oh my goodness. And they were so excited. You know that excitement that we used to have when we first came to know the Lord? That excitement that we allowed this world to beat out of us?
Oh, yeah.
That joy? Well, we saw it. And so then they ran over and they said, can we pray for you? Can we pray for you?
And, of course, I was going to say, no, I'm busy doing the Lord's work.
No, we said, okay, go ahead. And they prayed for us, and they prayed for this program. They prayed for this radio station. And that's the epitome of what we want to encourage all of God's children to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And through this medium, I'm asking that the Lord's going to bless. Amen?
Amen.
So when we got together last program, we talked a little bit about how the Lord had placed on our hearts to find a way to reach the unsaved Jewish community. And in the course of that, as we started that quest, we find out that many people in the Christian community don't believe that Jewish people need the gospel. even though there was a man named the Apostle Paul who told you really do need to witness it. But somebody has perpetrated a lie somewhere along the way and got Christians, God's children, to be very lackadaisical about reaching out to God's chosen.
Yeah.
So our job and our joy is to encourage folks. When you go to Romans 11:11, and he says, I saved you specifically to provoke the Jew to jealousy. Now we just have to delve into that and find out what it means and what does it mean to provoke folks to jealousy. You can't do it with your money. He's got as much as more. You can't do it with your education. He's got as much as more. You can't do it with your great family traditions. He's got as much as more. The only thing that he doesn't have that you have is the joy of salvation.
Yes.
It's the joy of salvation. But if people can't see it, if they can't hear it, if they can't see it, if they can't feel it, you can't sell me what you ain't living.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
So we are here to encourage God's children to look at that and understand everybody worldwide has their problems, their issues, whatever. But God has told us as his children, he said, I promise you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to sleep.
Yeah.
He said, but I just got one thing I want you to do. Go get my children.
Amen.
And so you know what that means we all get to be like Moses. He told Moses, go get my children.
That's right.
Amen. he's telling Eddie and the rest of us, everybody listen, go get my children.
That's right.
Go get my children.
That's right.
So we talked a little bit about that. We talked about our trip. My wife and I were blessed to go to Israel. And God just really reinforced the whole idea of coalescing this thinking, this thought process of how. It's not a matter of if we're supposed to do it. It's a matter of how are we going to do?
Right, right.
And so I'm excited today because today we get to introduce to the listening audience one of the brothers that the Lord brought into our path almost going on 3 years ago now, Dr. Gutterman. Dr. Jeff Gutterman. And he was raised as an Orthodox Jew in Bronx, New York. And as I'm going to steal his thunder here. When I was talking to him, and I said, because I had never been to New York. I don't know anything about New York. And I'm saying, oh, what part of New York were you brought up in? He goes, oh, right next door to the Promised Land. And I said, I don't know much about New York,
but I don't know anything about the problem.
And he goes, Yankee Stadium.
So I said, okay. Only a New Yorker would say something like that.
So you folks are going to get to meet him and talk with him. He's been a real blessing in my life and the life of Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And we want to share that with the listening audience because so often the question comes up when we talk to people about this ministry. Well, where do I encounter Jewish people?
Yeah.
And because the Bible says, Romans 1:16, he says, the gospel is to the Jew first and the Gentile. So we witness to everybody, but guess what? In the midst of that, you're going to talk to some of God's chosen. You don't. They work with you. They go to school with you. Some of them your bankers, or your lawyers, your doctors, your co-workers, your employees. You never know. When you go to Israel, people say, well, I don't know. Hey, if you go to Israel, there's Jewish people who dig ditches, too, y'all. And not only there, in America, too. Okay, so we've got this stereotype thing going.
Yeah, the stereotypical Jew.
Yeah, no. Just toss that one out the window. So so that's just some of the things we're going to talk about. And we're looking forward to seeing what Brother Jeff has to say.
Oh, yeah. One of the other things that we talked about last week is, the timing. So should I wait to evangelize until I have a little bit more education, or should I start now? What would you recommend, Pastor?
I would recommend this. If you know Jesus, and if you love your neighbor like yourself, and understand, you don't have low self-esteem, because if you did, that's a good thing. Okay, we got pride. But the Bible says, love your neighbor like yourself. And when you do that, I don't care who the person is, you're going to want to see them in glory.
Amen.
And all you got to do is open your mouth. Brother Jeff and I we had a little back and forth as to, you remember that commercial with this, two minutes in one.
Yeah, okay. I remember that.
We had a little back and forth because he was saying, well, we need to build bridges. And I was saying, no, we need to get at it. And he said, no, we need to build bridges. I said, get at it. And then Eddie steps in. He goes, wait a minute, guys. You guys are all saying the same thing. It's just that Pastor Will builds bridges pretty quick.
Yeah,
and Brother Jeff is right. You do have to there has to be some connection there. But we have to purpose in our heart to find that connection. I mean, you can build a bridge. The Navy Corps of Engineers builds a bridge overnight.
Yeah.
Some folks out here on Highway 360 take about 4 years.
Yeah.
So somewhere in between there, we as Christians, we as God's people, we have to say, am I going to get to see this person again? I don't know.
Right.
Am I ever going to be in this situation again? I don't know. So while God gives you breath, if you love your neighbor like yourself, you're going to want to see him in glory. So if you give him a tract, if you give him a greeting, if you point him in the direction, what's the Bible say? One plants, one waters. So we don't know when God is giving
God
that opportunity.
God grants the increase.
God gives the increase. So the answer to that is just open your mouth. And if you need some assistance, it'll be our joy. Brother Eddie, he covers this. Oftentimes in Sunday school,
right?
Because witnessing is a major deal at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. We want to be faithful to God's word to get His word out. And understand this. This takes the tenseness off of it. That's the word I'll use. Tenseness.
Right.
You don't have to convince anybody.
That's right.
But we are commanded to tell everybody.
Amen.
That makes sense.
That makes sense,
so,
Pastor.
We get all bent out of shape. And I can't talk to him. I can't convince him. No, you can't. Because if you could talk him into it, somebody else could talk him out of it. Amen.
Well, let me just share one quick thing that happened in Sunday school Sunday. We had one of the students in class just say, that the way she was evangelized, the person just walked up to her and said, "Are you saved?"
Okay. Hey.
And that started that conversation about salvation. And so it doesn't take a lot of effort, but you got to do it.
Amen.
You've got a purpose in your heart, as you say, Pastor, to do it. And God will give you the words that you need to say. And sometimes they'll just be, "Are you saved?"
It's no deeper than that. It's no deeper than that.
Okay. So we're getting ready to go to our first break.
Eddie, this is Listen for the Joy. It's a listener-supported ministry brought to you by the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. We're located at 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas. Located just two lights west of Highway 161 at the intersection of Mayfield and Waterwood Roads. You can find us online at www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com.
Okay, I think it's time for us to bring Brother... Let me make special. Brother Dr. Jeffrey Gutterman.
All right.
Thank you very much. What a pleasure to be here. It's about three, actually it's almost 4 years ago now. I checked my calendars.
Okay.
And it was January of 2015. I was a field representative for Ariel Ministries, which is a Messianic Jewish ministry. We'll tell you about that a little bit more in a few minutes. I was a field representative, and I was representing the ministry at many different conferences around the country. But my background is teaching, and I'm teaching the Bible is what I wanted to do. So I had asked the leadership to find a position for me where I could do a lot of teaching. They offered to make me the branch director of the Dallas-Fort Worth branch, and that was supposed to go on the website. Interestingly enough, I get a phone call from Pastor Willie, didn't know who he was, and he said, "I hear that you're with Ariel Ministries." And I said, "We haven't even sent out the notices yet." He said, "Well, I went online and I saw you as some sort of a field representative, and I just decided to give you a call." And that was the beginning of,
it's supernatural.
As they say, a beautiful friendship.
Amen.
We spent almost an hour on the phone, and we had to force ourselves to hang up. We met. Had some lunch, and I shared the mission that Ariel has, which I internalized. Ariel's mission is very simple, that the ministry was created to meet an urgent need. What was the urgent need? A need for evangelism and discipleship of the Jewish people and all people. And that was the mission that I shared, and Pastor Willie had known it because he knew Ariel Ministries. And when I told him that we were establishing study centers, he said, "Well, I've got an annex to this church. If you would just really think about it, maybe you would like to use it." And I had been looking for a place, and how the Lord brings things together. We've been there ever since. And we meet currently on a monthly basis. We're doing a series on the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels. It's called The Life of Messiah. And we'll give you more information about that later. But Ariel Ministries is an educational ministry. We're not a church. We hold Bible seminars, prophetic seminars, and conferences all over the world. We produce audio, video, and written materials, which are available from our online bookstore. And you can contact me at dfw@ariel.org. That's our email address. D as in David, F as in Frank, W as in Willie, at Ariel, A-R-I-E-L, ariel.org. And if you would like to see the entire website, that's just my email address. You can go to www.ariel.org, A-R-I-E-L. We also have a quarterly magazine, which you can see online. We have many of our back issues listed there. And we have branches all over the world. We have branches in Australia, Canada, Germany, Hungary, India, Israel, New Zealand, and the United States, and in Texas here. Our home office is in San Antonio. We also have a Bible camp And this ministry has been around for over 40 years. The Bible Camp is almost, actually, the Bible Camp is older than the ministry. It's Ariel's School of Messianic Jewish Studies, and it's held in upstate New York. It's called Camp Shoshana. It's Bible teaching. And it's in the beautiful Adirondack Mountains right near Lake Placid where they have the Winter Olympics oftentimes. And if you go online, you'll see there's an 8-week program. You can take 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, weeks of some very deep and very easy to understand Bible teaching. So how did I get to Ariel Ministries?
Before you get that, let me just do one thing.
Sure.
I want to give the listeners our call-in number. We're a talk show. So when you call in, we'll answer your questions and we'll discuss the subject matters that you have with regard to evangelism. The number is 972-996-3970. Again, the number, the call-in is 972-996-3970. 3970, and we're here to crank up the joy.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead, Doctor.
No problem. Well, how did I get to Ariel Ministries? How did I get to Texas? I was born into an Orthodox Jewish family in the Bronx, New York. My maternal grandparents immigrated to the United States from Poland in the late 1800s, and my father's parents came to Cincinnati, Ohio, which still is a large Jewish community there, Russian Jewish community. My grandparents were from Lithuania, which at the time, in the late 1800s, was part of Russia. And they followed the Mosaic Law very, very carefully and closely. So they were very much into not only the customs, but they were into the laws and the traditions. My mother was born in Brooklyn, which I forgave her for, because Bronx and Brooklyn, it's the Yankees and the Dodgers, if you know. And a few years later, my mother moved, we say, uptown, because Brooklyn is south of the Bronx. She met my dad, who was born in Cincinnati, and while my parents kept Jewish traditions, they were first-generation American Jewish people, and what they basically kept were the traditions and the customs, but they didn't strictly adhere to the Orthodox Jewish way of life. At 8 days of age, I was given a Hebrew name, and my Hebrew name is Yisrael Yaakov, which is Israel Jacob in English. And I was named after my father's grandfather, my great-grandfather, who perished in the Holocaust. Jewish people don't usually name their children after the father. They don't. There are not many juniors that I know of in the Jewish culture. And the reason for that is that they believe that when you name somebody after a departed family member or a loved one or a close one to the family, that name continues on. It keeps the person's name alive. Growing up in the Bronx was quite pleasant and peaceful. I lived in a diverse neighborhood. There were Italians, Irish, Chinese, Japanese, Puerto Rican, African Americans. New York is an international city, and the neighborhoods aren't much different than that. At the age of 9, my father said, "Well, now you have to start Hebrew school." And I said, "Well, what's that? I go to school all day. I go from 9 to 3. He said, "Well, Hebrew school is after school, and it will prepare you for your bar mitzvah or confirmation, which would make me an adult active member of the synagogue." And in an Orthodox synagogue, you cannot hold a worship service unless you have 10 adult men. So once you're bar mitzvahed and you've proven that you've studied, now you can act as an adult person and be part of that 10 minimum number of people.
So what's that age?
13.
13?
Age of 13.
So you're an adult at age 13?
Spiritually, in the Jewish culture, yes.
Okay.
You're an adult at the age of 13.
I wish that was true in my culture.
Eddie, I don't think it happened in my house either.
Well, as a 9-year-old who had just discovered baseball, and the weekend was the best day to play ball, and also after school was a good time to play ball, I, of course, petitioned my father and said, "Well, why do I have to do this?" And what he basically said to me was this. He said, you're still a little bit young, he says, but you're starting to learn some history. And in our history, the Jewish people have had difficult times, and that's part of how my grandparents came, so he was sharing family history with me. He said, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, he says, but I want you to know what your roots are, because you're going to be held responsible for it by others. You may run into somebody who's not going to like you simply because you're of the Jewish faith, and you need to understand that there's a whole history behind it, and that's what you're going to get out of Hebrew school, as well as preparing me to become an adult member of the community. So I began my Hebrew school education at the local Orthodox temple. They required me to go to the Saturday services all the time, which I didn't always keep. Saturday was a difficult day, but I did go.
That was ball-playing day, right?
That was ball-playing day, okay. Right. And usually in the streets, by the way. A lot of streets.
Okay. Oh,
stick ball
that.
And
yeah.
A lot
stick
of that.
Ball.
Yeah, stick ball, where you stole your mom's broomstick.
That's right.
Pink
cut
ball,
it off.
And then when the police came by, you had to hide it because they used to take those broomsticks because they were afraid you were going to damage the cars. Yeah, very interesting. Growing up was a whole different time in New York City anyway. So I didn't really like going to Hebrew school, but some of my friends were also going, so it made that a little bit more palatable. So basically, I would go to school, come home, do homework, go out and play ball, and start the day, repeat the next day the same way. When I was a young man in the synagogue, most of the prayer services, the prayers were in Hebrew. I didn't know much about the translation of it. I knew they taught us how to read Hebrew, but I didn't know the translation. I was what you would call a word caller. I could read, and even to this day, I'm not fluent in Hebrew. I learned more Hebrew in seminary than I did in Hebrew school, which is so interesting. It was the yeshiva kids, the kids who went to the religious school all day long. They learned, they were being trained to be rabbis. They learned everything in depth. And my friends and I, we rarely studied scriptures. We didn't memorize scriptures. We didn't study books of the Bible. We heard stories. We heard about Adam, and we heard about Noah and his ark with all those nice little animals.
So let me ask you, even today, if I were to talk to an average Jewish person brought up as an Orthodox Jew, would they know much Bible? Even Old Testament, or what we call Old Covenant Bible?
If they're not yeshiva, probably not. No,
okay.
they're not going to know much about it. Now, there would be a few who might go a little deeper into it. And I was when I did finish my bar mitzvah, they had graduate school, which only lasted for me about 6 months, because I was, at that point, I was 14 years old.
Okay.
And I was more interested in the parties we had Saturday night than going to synagogue.
Well, that's extremely helpful to me, because I went to a Jewish school in Philadelphia. My high school was 90% Jewish, and a lot of my friends are still unsaved, and it troubles me, it bothers me, and so the more I know about what they do and how they work, it helps me to understand their culture a little bit better.
And also, my father was working, and he had to work on Saturdays.
Mm.
So I never went to synagogue with my dad.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the only time I remember him being at synagogue was when my grandparents were still alive for the High Holy Days in the fall, the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. He would go to the synagogue, and then when I was bar mitzvahed, he came that day.
Okay.
Obviously, that was my day.
Well, Doctor, we're getting ready to go to break, but I want to let everyone know that we're listening for the joy, and a listener-supported ministry. You can find us online at www.goodshepherdbaptist.com. When we come back, we'll get our daily dose of joy from Pastor Will. We got to have that.
Amen, amen. Okay, here you go. Now, right about this time,
when we come back,
right about now, we would have some music playing.
Oh, okay.
The song would be going, "You give me joy down in my soul." You know that beautiful, beautiful song. Well, see, since we're a low budget program, the Pastor Eddie and Brother Gutterman got to sing, "You give
me joy."
Amen. Amen. So now we go into our daily dose of joy. The scripture tells you in Proverbs 17:22, he says, it's like a medicine. Mary, this joy, this happiness is like a medicine
to your bones. And one thing that I'm thoroughly sold out to trying to do is have Christians enjoy life.
Amen.
I mean, you only have one. And if you spend it all day long moping and whining, you miss it. It passes you up. So here's what we're going to do. Now, next time we come, we'll have our music going. But we're going to go. I got a couple preacher jokes. Eddie, can I do a couple preacher jokes?
Let's do them.
Let's do the preacher jokes. Okay. Here you go. One day a pastor announced to his family and to the congregation, he told everybody, I'm going to fast. I'm going to go on a fast and really commit myself, fasting and praying. And he had a five-year-old daughter, and his little five-year-old daughter, she had just recently learned in school about fasting. And she said, when you fast, that means you don't eat. And so in her little five-year-old mind, she's thinking, wait a minute, Daddy. And she screams out, she says, Daddy, no, you can't fast. Don't do it. You'll die if you do it. Don't do it. Because if you got to eat, don't do it. And her father, in that, pastoral, loving, kind voice, he spoke to his daughter. He says, baby, he goes, in the Bible, many people fasted. And so then in her little five-year-old brain, she kind of did some thinking, and she replied to her father, but they're all dead.
Okay. I got another one.
Eddie, this is from a viewpoint of a little girl. She said, I've been going to school. I've been learning how to count.
Okay.
Learning how to count.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Is that it?
Well, sort of.
You can't go higher?
Yeah, I can go higher. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor.
There you have your daily dose of joy. Crank up the joy, y'all.
Crank it up.
Get up in the morning. Say good morning to your spouse. Say good morning to your children. What does it cost you? Say good morning.
Put a
smile on their face and a smile on your face as well. Amen. So now we're getting ready to return to our program with our guest, Brother Dr. Gutterman, Dr. Jeff Gutterman, and he's going to pick up where he left off, giving us his testimony and how he came to faith in Jesus Christ, coming from an Orthodox Jewish home. Thank you.
Well, I was bar mitzvahed, and very much the only experiences in synagogue that I had after that were for bar mitzvahs, weddings, and funerals. And other than that, I became what you would probably call today a secular Jew. I was very much caught up in the world and what the world was doing, and I wanted to enjoy myself. I was growing up. Well, when I graduated from college, I became a teacher in the South Bronx, and this was at a time when the South Bronx was known as Fort Apache.
Like the movie.
Well, the movie was filmed right where my school is, or was.
Okay.
And there was Fort Apache, the Bronx was the movie with Paul Newman, and they didn't ask me to be in it.
Did you ever meet Paul Newman?
No, I never met Paul Newman, no. But I did know a lot of the guys in the 41st Precinct, because they were in the school quite a bit.
Okay.
And I was there for many, many years, for a couple of decades, and my job became administrative assistant. And my job basically was at the beginning of the school year when new teachers would arrive, my job was to chain them to the desk so they wouldn't leave.
Wow, I got a caller coming in, and it's Randy on line 3. Randy, how can we help you?
Hey, Brother Will. Eddie, good show today. Hey, I had a question for Dr. Gutterman. I wonder if there's a particular Old Testament passage that tends to resonate with the Jewish heart.
There, okay, before you answer that, let me tell folks, that's a dear brother of ours, Brother Pastor Randy Capote, a South Park Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. We're like sister churches. As a matter of fact, it's our 10th anniversary for Good Shepherd tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Our
that's
10th anniversary,
right.
And Pastor Randy's going to be preaching, so he's just trying to find a sneaky way to get on the radio. So, Brother Jeff, would you answer that? Good. Thank you for calling, Brother Randy.
Well, if I understood the question correctly, it was, is there a particular passage that resonates with the Jewish people? There are many passages that will resonate with the Jewish people. What I would say to you is that when you first meet a Jewish person, show them that you are well aware of the scriptures that they probably have heard, and that would be from the Old Testament, what they call the Tanakh. And Genesis, I always go to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, which is the promise to Abraham, and when I asked them what it means in verse 3 that he would be a blessing to all nations, and I asked them, well, what do you think that means? That usually starts a dialogue. So again, each person's individual, but that's one of the major scripture verses that I'll go to when I meet a Jewish person who's not a believer.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay,
continue.
Back to
back to the South Bronx.
Back to the South Bronx. Here we go.
South Bronx was also in those years gang central. There were many gangs. It was the murder capital of the country, which is not a position you really want to be in. And so when the new teachers came in, I made sure they had enough supplies to keep them going. And if they had any problems, I would try and help them. And one person in particular, this female, this young lady who came into the school, she didn't seem like she needed very much help about anything. She looked very self-sufficient. She didn't look afraid. Every morning we would walk through the schoolyard to get into the school, and literally you would crunch on the crack vials that were in the schoolyard from the night before. This was a difficult neighborhood.
Drug infested.
And I was there for decades and loved every minute of it because the people were outstanding. It was just what happened after dark. It was sort of like they stayed in their homes.
Like a different world.
So this young teacher, she's ready to go out and visit the parents of her children. And we had our parent-teacher conference one day. And she said, I'm going out to visit the grandmother of this student because the grandmother's sick. She takes care of the child. And she said, I'm going to go see this woman. And I said, well, where is it? And she points to the building. And I said, well, you're not going alone because I wasn't even supposed to go to that building.
Was she pretty?
Was who pretty?
The girl that you were going to escort.
Immaterial at that point. I couldn't tell you at that point. Right. Yes, she's gorgeous now. You want me to get to the end?
And, I think we're getting to Romans 11 later. Yeah. Here.
Well, she wasn't then, but she is now my wife.
Okay.
But this had nothing. This had to do with her, with not her salvation, but her safety.
Yes.
She was walking into a building where it was known to be a drug den was going on there. So I said, I'm going with you. And we walk into the lobby of the building, and a door opens, and somebody sticks their head out. And I said, okay, now we're in for it. And the fella says, Mr. Gutterman? I said, yeah. He says, what are you doing here? And he comes out. I had this young man as a fifth grader when he was 10 years old.
Wow.
And he lived in that on the first floor, and he checked everybody who was coming into the building.
Okay.
He was about 19 at the time.
Okay.
And he said, I told him what we were doing there, and he says, okay, she goes upstairs, you stay with me, because anybody walks in, they're going to think you're a cop.
Okay.
So he stayed. Okay. I'm just telling you what we grew up in.
That's the way it is.
But the only thing I would say about the South Bronx is this, as difficult a neighborhood as it was, I didn't realize it at that moment in time, but my salvation was waiting for me right there.
Amen.
No matter where you had.
Amen.
It got good.
Got to develop.
Got good.
Developed a friendly relationship with the teacher and with my wife, who's now my wife. She wasn't then. I'll keep saying that. And we began to just talk about things. So being from New York, and she was from Brooklyn, and I knew that she was she was born in Brooklyn, but she has a Caribbean background, Spanish background, Puerto Rican background. And I said, so, you're Catholic? She said, no, I'm a Christian. And I said, what's the difference? Now,
wait a minute. Folks, listen real closely, folks, because there is a difference. Listen.
Yeah, because to me, Christians and Catholics, to the Jewish person, are the same. And she said, well, there is a difference. And so she began to share with me her faith and what she believed. And she's telling me that she believes in Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. And you know he came first for the Jews? And I said, rabbis never told me that. And then she said, well, you know, there's the... I said, but I know you believe in this Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And she said, yeah. I said, well, Jewish people... We pray to the top. We pray to the middle.
We cut out the middleman.
Not the, and I use the word middleman. I said, we don't pray to the middleman because Jewish people understand the Trinity, but they see it as a hierarchy. Father is at the top. Son is in the middle. Holy Spirit's at the bottom.
Yeah.
They don't see it as three in one.
Yeah.
And she said, she gave me a very stern look. And... Again, remember, we were just colleagues at this point. And she says, we can talk about anything, but you cannot talk negatively about my Lord and my Savior.
Amen.
Mm. And I apologize because I really didn't mean anything by it. This was the understanding I had. It's kind of like when you step in it and you don't know you're in it and you realize you are, you want to make it right. Yeah. And we continued to talk back and forth, and she says, I'd like you to get a Bible so you can start reading it, because I had never read the Bible in Hebrew school. And we go into Barnes & Noble, and I'm looking at one shelf, and she's looking at the leather Bibles at the top. And I said, does this paperback have the same thing in it that that does? She said, yeah. I said, well, let's buy the paperback, because I'm not that committed.
Just in case things don't work out here.
Right. We'll wait to make the big investment. As we were talking about things, the interesting thing is that the year that Anna came into the school, my dad had passed away, and I hadn't yet met her. So this was very shortly after my dad had passed away that I had met her. And we're going and discussing back and forth, and what is this salvation about? And it's for the Jews. I want to know about this. And we got to John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And I said, well, what does that really mean? And she said, well, it means that if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't get to go to heaven. And the first thing that jumped into my mind was, are you telling me my Father's not in heaven? I said, my Father was a good man. The rabbis tell us that if you live and do good things, live a good life and do good things, you get to go to heaven. And I said, you're telling me my Father's not in heaven? And the answer was, I'm not telling you where he is. What I'm telling you is what's required.
Amen.
And it's not me saying it. This
Amen.
Is the word of God.
Yes.
And I said, well, that's really your Bible. And she said, not really. John was a Jewish man.
Amen.
All of the writers of the books of the Bible
were Jewish men.
And so, and even, you know, even the ones, even Hebrews, where we're not sure who it is, we are pretty sure that it was a Jewish writer, just because what he knew about the scriptures and what he knew about the synagogue. And so I had to resolve that, because everything else I was reading and everything else we were talking about, I was very much convinced that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. But how could I follow somebody that basically, where my dad was not going to be with God in heaven?
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's
it. So I meditated on it, and I read about it, and I meditated, but really it was my heart that had to be changed. Because, you see, a Jewish person doesn't convert to Christianity. A Jewish person, the promise of Christianity is in Jeremiah 31:31. So it was merely me receiving that last promise, that last covenant that God made with the Jewish people.
So you can be a Jew and still be a Christian, or do you have to come, you can't be a Jew and then become a Christian? How does that work?
I heard it said once by my first Messianic Jewish pastor, and he said, he was asked, how can you be a Jew and believe in Messiah, and believe that Jesus is the Messiah? And his answer was one that I took. How can I be a Jew and not believe that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah?
Amen. When I just listen to this, I think about so many people just have no clue of a Jewish person. He doesn't change who he is, but God, when you speak about a conversion with a Jewish person, it's a change of mind.
God says, you're looking at Jesus this way. You got to change it to this way. And that's very similar to what happens to us. We go from being heathens.
Right.
Let me define this. Jew and Gentile. We never give a definition for it.
Okay.
Jew, somebody of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you are that, you are a Jewish person. Correct?
Correct.
If you are not that, you are a Gentile. You might be an African-American Gentile. You might be a Chinese Gentile. You might be a Spanish Gentile. But you are a Gentile. Sometimes in the Bible referred to as a Greek. But you are not of that people group. And so when we talk about reaching the Jews, it is a specific people group. And there's a lot of discussion on that, which we might touch in another program later on. But Dr. Gutterman, take us on to the rest of the story.
Well, the moment...
Before you do, I've got to get this in. This is Listen for the Joy. It's... You can come join us every first and third Saturday of the month at 1 p.m. right here on KHVN, Heaven 97, on your dial.
And where can you reach Good Shepherd Baptist Church?
You can reach Good Shepherd Baptist Church at www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. Our phone number is 972-262-1111.
Thank you. Brother Gutterman, before we move on, I wanted to another terminology I want to get. What does messianic mean? What is that?
Actually, messianic is just another word for what we would say Christian or Christ.
Okay.
Christ is the person. Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew term Moshiach, which is translated into English as Messiah.
Okay.
So a messianic is anybody who follows, Jew or Gentile. The word messianic is like saying Christian. What it's come to mean in the culture today is Messianic Jew. I'm a Messianic Jew, but you can call me anything as long as you're respectful. You can call me a Messianic Jew. You can call me a Jewish Christian, a Hebrew Christian, a Christian Jew. Those are all fair, you know, descriptions. What I am is I am a believer in the Messiah that God sent to earth.
Amen.
That's what I am. And I don't read the Jewish Bible or the Christian Bible. I read the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Bible.
Amen.
I don't. And to me, the New Testament is not a second book, as I was taught by my grandparents. Well, their book, that's the Christian Bible. No, to me, it's just a continuation with what God shows us in the old, what we call the Old Testament, is now the rest of the story.
Now, I want to toss this in. For those who are thinking, well, my friends or the people I run into, they've never, ever, ever, ever believed the Bible. I mean, they're so devout about even being in Islam. Oh, we can't talk to them because they're so devout.
Right.
I want you to understand, the Word of God is able to cut through everything. We're talking to a brother over here who once told me that, as far as he was concerned, Jesus' last name was Christ. Okay?
I did too.
Don't sell God short. He's a mighty God.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Jeff.
Well,
But not only that, let me just add one more thing here. We don't, the beauty of it is, even if they don't accept what you have to say, you don't have to convince them. You just have to tell them and move on. It's God who enters into the heart and promotes that message that you sent. So don't worry about convincing anybody. Just tell them.
That's why we're called witnesses. We're not judges.
Right.
We just give testimony.
Amen.
And then the Holy Spirit does the change of heart.
Okay.
After I had that problem about John 14:6, no one comes to the Father but through me, I continued to ask her many questions, and she finally says to me, she says, may I share something with you? And in New York, you never ask somebody for permission. You just tell them what you want to say. But she asked for permission, which got my attention. I said, sure, you can share something with me. She said, I want to share with you what your Messiah has meant in my life. And I gave her a puzzled look, and I said,
it's not my Messiah.
I said, my Messiah? No, not that it's not my Messiah. Jews know who Messiah is. That's an Old Testament idea. They know it very well. I said, my Messiah? My Messiah hasn't come yet. And she said, oh, yes, he has. And his name is Jesus.
Wow.
And he came, and that's when she said, he came for your people first. And that opened up the floodgates for me. Driving home one day, I lived up in a suburb of New York, Rockland County, had to cross the Tappan Zee Bridge, for those of you who know the New York area. And it was a very cloudy day in May, and all of a sudden the clouds parted, a shaft of light, I was driving west, and this was the afternoon, shaft of light comes down, hits me in the face, I felt the warmth, and the next thing I realized was, everything I was worried about with my father, the message that I got, it wasn't audible, it wasn't words, it was an impression that Jesus was telling me, your father's eternity is my concern, not yours.
Amen. I was wondering how you resolved that.
And, well, he resolved it. Jesus resolved it. And everything that was holding me back totally evaporated right there in the car driving across this bridge. And it's interesting because I like to build bridges.
No wonder you like to build bridges.
You lived in a city where there were a bunch of them.
I got home, and guess who I called? I called my friend Anna, and I said, I need to tell you something. I said, can I share something with you? I said, Jesus came into my heart. He is my Lord and my Savior. And she said, who? And I said, Jesus. She said, who? I said, Jesus, this is not a cell phone. You should have no trouble hearing me. She said, I wanted to hear you say the name Jesus because you never were able to say it. And a Jewish person, wow, that's a very difficult name to say.
Okay.
And at that point, it was flowing from my lips as though I had been saying it all my life. And he did change my life.
How did your family feel about that?
Well, the interesting
now, that's
thing...
That's another story.
Well, there's another story, is that oftentimes one of the things that stops the Jewish person from accepting is that when they accept, they will be rejected by family. And it, I mean, even Jesus says that, that you know, who's my brother, who's my sister, because you'll be rejected. And it does happen. In my case, my dad had already passed away. My mother, we shared with her about that, and she said, "Well, she thought that the Christians she had met were very nice people." She didn't quite understand it at that point in time. But I had a friend that was a friend from virtually the crib. And his daughter had just had her bat mitzvah, which is the female version of the bar mitzvah. And I shared with him, he asked me to come up and say prayers, and I said, well, I'll do this, but I won't put on the phylacteries, which are the little boxes that they wear. And he said, well, why? And I said, well, I need to share it with you that Jesus is now the Lord of my life. I have no problem with the prayers, but I just don't feel comfortable putting this on. And I went, and he said, well, that's fine. And I went to the bar mitzvah, he greeted me, and that's the last time he ever spoke to me. He disappeared from my life. And this was a man who called me brother. So when a Jewish person comes to faith, they lose friends, they lose relatives, they lose brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers.
It's a great cost to them.
In some cases, parents will actually sit in mourning. They call it sitting shiva, which is when somebody dies, you're supposed to stay in the house for 7 days. Parents will, it's not done so much today, but in an Orthodox home today, it will be done. They actually treat it as though the person has died to them. Wow. So it's pretty powerful when you do meet Jewish people, understand there's going to be a lot of outside pressure for them to not accept Jesus. But once they see, once the Holy Spirit opens their hearts and their minds, somebody's got to tell them.
It's like one being brought back from the dead.
That's right.
I have some good, a little bit I want to add on to that before we get out of here today. Everybody sitting at this table, we're all quite a bit past 21. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, yeah. So we've seen a few sunups and sundowns. Well, Brother Jeff and I were talking, and he just went down to like a class reunion kind of thing. A lot of guys he grew up with are living in other parts of the country. And he went down to have a time with them. And he noted that some of them who were raised Orthodox Jew, just like himself, some of them are acting a little different now.
Yeah.
And some of them are having a few more questions now. And guess what, y'all? If we'll be faithful, if we'll be faithful, because they've never talked to him, but they've seen him, and they sneak peeks of him on Facebook. Okay,
so not Facebook, online.
Yeah. But if you're just faithful, those that God keeps in your sphere, at some point in time, they're going to want to know about that man that you say his name is Jesus. Right. They're going to want, and he's going to give you an opportunity.
Well, to give you a quick story, we did ask when we were children, we did ask the Hebrew school teacher, who is this Jesus? And I always say whether his answer was golden. If he had told us, well, we were not going to talk about it like my grandparents did, we would have kept looking and looking and looking. So what he did was he actually answered us. He said, well, you know, he was a Jewish man, yes. You know, he was a good man. He was a rabbi. He was a good teacher. He taught about love and everything. But he didn't quite understand it. He thought he was God. And you know a man can't be God, right? And a 9-year-old child said, well, yeah, I guess a man can't be God. And that answered it for me, and that settled it for me.
Settled the issue. Amen.
Until what I said this whole, the rest of the program.
When you found out that God could be man.
When I found out that he came for me first, I wanted to know everything else that went along with it.
Amen.
I have a few of my friends that converted from Judaism to Christianity, and it was such a beautiful experience. We now talk about Christ and have conversations about our experience.
But they didn't convert because they're still Jewish.
Well, no, they're still Jewish, but they're not. When I said Judaism,
they've accepted the Jewish Messiah. That's
right.
The way we like to say it.
All right. So yeah, they've accepted the Jewish Messiah, and we have great camaraderie in talking about their experiences.
Okay, what else do we? I tell you, we got another 4 minutes. Do we have any other calls coming in? You folks are always welcome to call us at this time.
At 972-996-3970. So you can call up until the last minute. And remember, we're listen for the joy. Encouraging God's people to reach God's chosen.
I can take a minute or two and tell you a little bit about this Ruth Wardell. Ruth with the Truth. Ruth Wardell was a pastor's kid from Toronto, Canada. I told you a little bit about her before. She came to New York in 1946 and went to work for what's now known as Chosen People Ministries.
I read your book, by the way.
We wrote her biography called Ruth with the Truth. That's what she was known as. She was not Jewish. She worked with Jewish people in Brooklyn. She started in 1946, which meant she was witnessing to Jewish people who either had escaped the Holocaust or had lost family members in the Holocaust. You want to talk about a difficult field to witness in, this was it. And she would go into apartment buildings, and what they used to do is they would go to the top floor first, and they would work their way down, because if they started at the bottom floor and they would work up, then the word got out that there were people witnessing in the building, and they would not be able to get out of the building without being accosted. This way, the people in the lower floors didn't know they were coming down. But she was the one who led Arnold Fruchtenbaum to the Lord, and maybe in a future program I'll share in depth. He was the grandson of a ultra-Orthodox rabbi in Poland, who was there the family had been in Poland for hundreds of years. And he came to faith 2 weeks after speaking to Ruth Wardell.
And Arnold is the founder of
Ariel Ministries.
By the way, what does that word Ariel mean?
Lion of God.
Lion of God.
El is God, and Ari in Hebrew is lion. So Ariel is Lion of God.
Amen. So with Sister Ruth Wardell, who's going on to glory now.
In 2014, at the age of 90, God gave her many years.
And so a Gentile person, again, Brother Jeff shared this with me. Most Jewish believers come to faith by the testimony of their Gentile friends.
Over 90% of the Jews that I know who came to faith heard it from a Gentile.
That's why we have this
Gentile
program.
Believer, not a Gentile.
That's why we have this program, because we're talking to Gentile believers who are around Jewish people, God's chosen people, all day, every day, and sometimes you just don't even think about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
And you have the best opportunity to bring them to Christ.
Amen. Because as Brother Jeff would say, if he speaks to another Jewish person and tries to witness to them, they usually, not all the time, but oftentimes, they consider him a traitor.
Yep.
Ah, so you went off with the goyim. So no, we don't want you.
But when a Jew comes to faith, we basically, the way I see it is, if we're not just eating from part of the loaf, we're eating the whole loaf. We are completed.
Completed.
This is God's plan for the Jewish people and to the Gentile.
Yes,
which is so great.
So we have an invitation for you today to come to Good Shepherd Baptist Church at 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas, for the pastor's 10th anniversary. We've been around now for 10 years, Pastor.
Yeah, and that's going to be
10
tomorrow.
Years. Spreading the gospel. Tomorrow, we're going to have it. And I'm not supposed to tell you that we're going to have food because we don't want you to come just for the food. So just disregard that I said
that. If
you
stay for the, if you come for the message, Jesus said if you'll listen to Jesus preach all that time, he'll feed you.
Right.
You don't listen to him preach, he ain't feeding, giving you
right,
nothing.
Right,
right. Okay? We even got
fishes and loaves.
No. Even a good shepherd, we have a thing where if it's your birthday, if you bring a cake, we'll sing happy birthday to you. If you don't, we just say howdy.
So come to us tomorrow at 1880 Mayfield Road, Grand Prairie, Texas. That number is 972-262-1111.
God bless you. And in the meantime, listen for the joy.
Crank up that joy.
Crank up that joy. Thank y'all for listening.